The readings today point to some groups of what they call stiff-necked people. We have the stiff-necked Israelites from the Old Testament to whom the prophet Ezekiel is sent. Then we have the stiff-necked people of Jesus' hometown of Nazareth. And then there's us. We in the pews, at the pulpit, to whom these Bible passages are directed today, can also be stiff-necked people. The Israelites had been captured and enslaved by the Babylonians, and then God tells Ezekiel to go to the Israelites. They had rebelled against God. This means that Ezekiel had to go to his own people who were hostile to him, and so they took offense at him. And in the gospel, a similar thing happens. The people of Nazareth would have expected the Messiah to come to them from the outside, you know, someone unique, someone who wasn't their own. They didn't expect someone they knew, someone they were familiar with, to be the Messiah. They weren't upset that Jesus was doing miracles. They liked that part. But they just could not accept that Jesus was also human. He was too ordinary for their opinion, so they took offense at Jesus. Now imagine that. You're in front of Jesus and you take offense at him? It's the other way around, isn't it? It ought to be. But we too take offense in subtle ways. For example, I may have prayed for an answer to some prayer and it wasn't answered. I got bitter with God. I no longer expect much from him. I take offense. Or reading the Bible, getting to know my faith, isn't as interesting as other forms of entertainment, for instance. So I stop trying to read and learn, and instead I spend my time watching TV, on the internet, whatever it is that we do. I take offense. Or I'm so accustomed to receiving the body of Christ at Mass, the body and blood of Christ at Mass, that I do so without even thinking what I'm doing. I just have a bored attitude about the sacraments, about Mass itself. So I take offense. Or I hide my faith in public because it's easier and not worth the hassle of public attention. Jesus isn't worth the worry, and I take offense. And in all of these examples, what's going on? Well, I'm not letting God be God in my life. Rather, I give God a list of things that he's supposed to do for me. But it doesn't work that way. It's the exact opposite. God has a plan for what he wants us to do. But no, we want someone who answers our prayers exactly as I wish, one who entertains me and makes my faith easy, someone who makes my path through life as easy as possible without worries or suffering, one that will allow me to do whatever I want in the way I want to do everything, my way, but still show me unconditional love. There was a fellow chaplain of mine in the Air Force, and chaplains were called upon to give blessings frequently. And he said, we have to give a blessing from the God of the Air Force, the God who gives everything but demands nothing. But we know that's not who God is. So perhaps we could accept Christ on his terms and listen to his voice. And you know, that would be the start of something that could be really big in our life, because at that, we would not take offense. You know, what does it mean to be stiff-necked in our context here as we read it in the Bible? What does that mean to be stiff-necked? Well, it means to be stubborn. Be stubborn. But where did that come from? How did that phrase get started? Well, a farmer could plow a field with two oxen, And to direct the oxen back and forth across the field, the farmer would prick the oxen on their left or right necks with a sharp stick. But a stubborn ox would be stiff-necked, meaning it would refuse to move its neck even if it had been pricked several times by the farmer. And that's what happens to us in our relationship with God when we refuse God's guidance, God's directions in our life. We are like an ox with a stiff neck. Going where God directs us to go in our life will ultimately lead us to the deepest possible happiness we could ever experience in our life. And God gives us the help to get there. There's three special virtues that come from God Himself. Now, I'm sure you could guess what those three are. Those three special virtues are faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity. Those are the three virtues that are infused into our souls at baptism because they come from God. Hope is often misunderstood, so I'm just going to talk about hope. At first glance, it might seem like it's not something spiritual at all that is hope. We hear people say all the time things like, I hope my team wins. I hope I can win the lottery. Has anybody ever said that? Well, one way to understand hope is to recognize that it transforms and heals our past so that we can look forward to future joy. Now that's a very interesting way of looking at hope. It transforms our past and heals our past so that we can look forward to future joy. We often may say that a person has baggage from the past. And if you have baggage from the past, it means that something bad happened to you and is kind of negatively conditioning you in the present because you suffered this thing in the past. You haven't gone through it and gotten over it. And so you see the future through the lens, not of hope and joy, but of past hurts. But what has happened to us in baptism and also in the sacrament of penance, when we go to confession, we receive an inpouring of transformative grace, of sanctifying grace, we call it, a sharing in God's life itself. And if we allow Christ to heal these past hurts, then we're freed from the past and we're able to look to the future now with a way that God looks towards the future. And so we can say hope is really being a prophet, because the prophets preached to the people a message of hope, that they would eventually escape slavery in Babylon and go back to Israel because of God's great love for them. So if being a prophet means seeing the future through God's eyes, then every baptized Christian who allows these virtues of faith, hope, and charity to be operative in their life, and we can all be hopeful too then, because that makes us a true witness for Christ, which is what a prophet is. So let's pray at this Mass for the gift of hope. I hope God gives you that gift.